Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to engage in the ultimate retro nerd experience. The Techno Funk Boy presents The Retro Station.
Thank you for joining in on the Retro Station. I am your host, Paul, for today. We're excited to be here. This is our first episode of the Retro Station that we are recording live on Twitch. We tried that out a little bit when we were doing the Retro Zoo Super Show, and very inconsistently. But the goal here is to be much more consistent, so on Tuesdays at what would it be, 9 o'clock Eastern. I am so bad at time zone conversions. 8 o'clock Central Time we will be here, unless it's like an interview that I'm having to kind of schedule out for another time. But we're going to be trying to hit a couple of topics today, so we are excited that you are here. So if you are catching the podcast version of this and do want to join us next time, there's a couple of things that you can do. The first thing is to go to twitch.tv/technofunkboy and follow us there. And that will, of course, give you notice of not only when we are playing Tales from the Rusty Speeder or the Order of Podcasters, but it will also give you notice when we are recording these episodes live, and you will be able to chat with us as we go. You can also jump into our Discord server, and the link to that is in the show notes. My understanding, I believe that if you just search for Techno Funk Boy in Discord, you should probably be able to find us. And I'm going to try to do my best to post upcoming topics there. And if it's just something that you particularly want to jump in on, then shoot me a note, and we'll see what we can do about that. Depending on demand, we'll have to see. Possibly limit the discussion a little bit, but so far that's not been a problem, because this is the first time we're doing this. So we are going to actually open up an old module for first edition Dungeons and Dragons, Dragons of Hope, and take a look at some of the mechanics that they use there. I do want to do some episodes on just cool things that I'm finding in Dungeons and Dragons modules and in general role-playing games. Something I've heard from a great many people. And one of those being the Dungeon Master for Dice and Dreary, Jeff, who is joining us in the chat today. Appreciate you joining us. Even if you are not running a module, a lot of times you can pull ideas from some and be able to use them elsewhere. And this particular module has a really cool mechanic for a very interesting situation. So we're going to kind of dig into that. Before we do, if you are here for Dragonlance and you are not subscribed to the Technofunk Boy YouTube channel, you need to be, because most of the videos we do there are about Dragonlance. And so, head over to YouTube, search Technofunk Boy, and as I am dungeon mastering my way through the modules with my team, I'm kind of putting down my thoughts on them, my ideas, any ideas that I have to convert them to those old modules to 5th edition along the way, and stuff like that, and putting those in video form, going chapter by chapter through the books, and there are a lot of chapters. And so, hey, Rave, do you want me to turn your mic on? You should be able to if you want to. In the meantime, so be sure and check out that. If you do like what we are doing here on the Retro Station or on the YouTube channel or Rusty Speeder or any of those things and do wish to support us, Rave says, I can. Just have nothing to say. Well, that's fair. I do wish you to support us financially. I would very much like it if you did that too. And so, go to patreon.com/technofunkboy, or you can subscribe here on Twitch. Or if you'd like, you can snag the album we just put out. This is part of the series of Dice and Dreary soundtracks that that Technofunk Boy is creating. It's the second in the series, and it is a very, very long and very, very fun a battle theme that that we used when we were fighting Strahd in the streets of Vlaki. And by fighting Strahd, I mean running away as quickly as possible. And so the whole album is this song, which is great for you, because you can get, since it's only one song, you can get the entire thing for 99 cents. Because, you know, Amazon and iTunes are looking at that. It's like, yeah, that's one song. That should be that should be 99 cents, which is fantastic. So, let's get into this a little bit. So, the story thus far, and I'm not really going to tell the story thus far in this book because it's not important. The important thing is, what is our situation and why is this cool? The situation when we're getting into Dragons of Hope, and for those of you who don't know, Dragonlance in first edition was an interconnected series of modules that went, I think, for 12 modules long in a much bigger campaign. And in the prior module, Dragons of Flame, you ended up rescuing a whole bunch of people. And by whole bunch of people, I mean 800 of them. And now you have gone south into the mountains. And there in the mountains, you are searching for the hidden entrance to the Dwarven Nation. And in that hidden entrance, you're also looking for a way in, which is a bit of a problem because the dwarves don't want to let you in, and so there's a couple of things that need to happen there. And so half this module is just exploring the mountains, and then half of the module is a dungeon where you've come to realize this dungeon is going to house the thing that is going to get us into the Dwarven Nation, and so we need to go retrieve it in this dungeon. So that part of it is a very traditional dungeon, but the first part of it isn't. And this is normally in the module where we're doing some sort of world building or role playing going to our towns, you know, in the first module, you were visiting some of the towns, in particular, Solas. In the second module, you're revisiting there, and then you're escaping into, elven lands and dealing with the elves there. And now in the third one, you have a bunch of people with you. And so this whole setup is designed to be a way that you can deal with 800 refugees in an interesting way. So, the first thing is first, and they have a kind of cool mechanic for when you're exploring itself. But then we're going to get into what's really, really cool about it, which is the role playing. So you have the map itself, and once you figure out that you're going to be able to get the thing that's going to get you into the Dwarven Nation in this dungeon, the first priority becomes getting the refugees to safety while you're having to fight the bad guys and make a way for them. And so you are looking for a defensible location with plenty of food. And so you have this big map. And you start off on the north side of the map, you're heading south, and throughout the map are locations, each with kind of a particular event that might follow, a particular enemy you might encounter, some sort of source of food, which is very, very important, some encounter with the hill dwarves there, or event that way. But then there are events that are time based, and so you actually have encounters, which are the things at the particular points of the map. But then you have events, which are timed and could happen at multiple locations. And so some of them are very, 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 very simple. Like the first night, everybody's going to have a meeting. All right, that's simple enough. But at a certain time, like the dragon is going to find you. At a certain time, all the draconians are going to descend upon your location and fight it out. These are some of the events that might happen. Furthermore, you also have kind of a time crunch in that your party only has a certain amount of food. And this can become a very, very big problem very, very quickly. So you start off, you know, as you were all running away, you took, you know, the refugees took all of the food wagons with them, and you've got about 2 days worth of food. And there are certain places on the map that you can find some amount of food. And you've got it. You have to be kind of smart about it. You've got to go toward places where you think that might be a thing. There is a third edition version of the Dragonlance saga as well that makes some changes here and actually makes it a little bit easier. What they say is that you've got several people in your party, in the group that are like skilled, like hunters, you know, and they're going to be able to produce a certain amount of food every day, which does make things a lot quite a bit easier, because how long you spend here really is what is going to depend on what direction your party goes. Now, in real gameplay time, we probably spent 3-4 hours in these mountains, but my party went the right way fairly directly, you know, and had they gone the wrong way, you could be there for an exceedingly long time. Furthermore, Furthermore, and this is one of the things that Dragonlance does that I think is actually pretty cool. The end of this whole section, which is actually the kind of our volume one, if you're using the classic edition, or if you're using the third edition, it's split into three books instead of 12 modules. But the end of volume one actually happens at a particular day. And the longer you spend in the mountains, now the players don't know this, but the longer you spend in the mountains, the less time you have to prevent the thing that's going to happen in the next module. And so getting lost in the mountains for weeks is going to make the rest of the module much, much more difficult and give you much, much less rest time. And so, you know, experience points that you get at the end of this is very much based on like how many people survive as you go through, and it is extremely hard to get everybody through, mostly because you're doing rolls every night. But we're gonna kind of get to that. But that's kind of the structure here. We have a time limit. And the time limit's is based on hunger. That's the immediate danger, but there's also a larger time limit to the grander adventure itself that the players might not know about but are going to be affected by. And you've got to find food. You have to find shelter, a place that they're not going to be found by the Draconians, or if they are found, it's going to be very, very defensible. And then, once you have them at safety, then your party is going to go to the next dungeon. Pew, 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 pew.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I was trying to record some sound effects for Tales from the Rusty Speeder.
Well, why are you using your face to make the sound effects?
Well, I mean, you know, like there's a lot of like resources and stuff online, but this stuff costs money. We don't have any money.
Oh, wait a second. We rely on viewer support through Patreon or something to get money for the show. That all makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And if our listeners would like to support us, they could go over to patreon.com/technofunkboy and contribute an amount that we're going to reinvest in the show and make it sound even better.
Yeah, because your face is not sounding as good as it could.
Well, how does your pew pew sound?
Are you ready?
Yes. Oh, dang, that's good. Now, that's probably if I were doing this, that's probably where I would have stopped things. You know? But that's not where the game stops things. Because it's now introducing all of these other factions that you are going to have to deal with if you're trying to lead 800 people. Just the dangers of traveling, of sleeping outdoors with 800 people, with hungry wolves and owlbears and a stone giant out there, is going to threaten the party. And so there is a chance for loss pretty much every day you're there. There is a system that they put in for mass battles because there are times and places where you might encounter the Draconian army and have to scuffle it out. And they have a pretty cool combat table where you're rolling and your position might give you advantages. The way things are structured, you might give you advantages. If the bad guy has a dragon, it gives them advantages, and so on and so forth. And so there's a lot there. But the biggest part of this section is dealing with the people. Like I said, these modules usually start off with like a role-playing thing and then get you to a dungeon Or it might have a skirmish, you know, like role-playing, skirmish, role-playing dungeon, which is, you know, normally the more likely path. This one actually does the same thing. There might actually be several skirmishes, but the main thrust of it is going to be role-playing. So, the first night, I mentioned before, the first night, all the people have a meeting. And they are splintering into factions right away. Keeping in mind, there are a lot of different types of people that are here. You have the people from the plains who never really got on with all of the different people of the cities very well anyways, you know? And so they really kind of keep to themselves. They're their own thing. And they pick out a leader who's going to kind of represent them. Then, depending on if you're running the first edition or the third edition, there might even be a small group of wood folk that is any elves or half elves that are there. Then you have the seekers. Now, in this area, if you don't know this about Dragonlance, the whole point of this is that the gods have disappeared and have taken with them any sort of divine magic. So there are no clerics in this world anymore. There are paladins, but they don't have magic. They're a different kind of thing in Dragonlance. And this story is kind of about the return of the gods. But there are the group, and in this area around Haven and Solace, there are these group of seekers who are kind of advocates of new gods. And they are using these new gods to basically keep control of people. And they don't like you because you have already like brought the return of the old gods, you've brought word of the return of the old gods. You have brought clerical magic back into the world, and there are people who are converting to the old ways, and the seekers do not like that, and so they've split off by themselves. But so have the believers. Which are the people who have converted. And then lastly, you got a bunch of people who are just, sick of being controlled by anybody, and they call themselves the free people. And each one of these groups has a leader, and they have decided that they are going to be this council that is going to, make decisions that affect all of the tribes, like where are we going and things. And you are allowed to make suggestions. You are given a position of an advisor to the council, but you don't actually have to make decisions. And depending on what they actually think of you is how much they're going to side with you. So like the believers are going to pretty much start off, whatever you say, we're gonna go with this. They hold you in very, very high regard. The seekers, on the other hand, are going to vote against you just out of spite. You know, I mean, except if it's like, hey, look, there's a herd of deer. Let's get some food. Obviously, they're not going to disagree with you on that, but they are going to they're going to disagree with you just to be jerks. And everybody else it's kind of a sliding scale between the two on what they think of you and how often they're going to agree with you. And so with each one of the factions, you have kind of a base percentage on how often they're going to agree with you. And that can fluctuate based on how well you reason your case, you know, your performance so far. Like, if a lot of people are dying, they're probably not going to be as inclined to follow your advice. If you just found a whole mess of food and everybody's real happy with you, they're going to be more likely. Your charisma rolls are going to make a difference, difference here. And so each of the versions have a modifier on how this percentage is going to vary. Now, here again, the third edition is going to be easier than the first edition. But I tell you what, both of these are brutal. These council meetings are designed to be very adversarial. And they are designed to have people arguing with your players, really hashing it out, because at the base, on average, using the percentages from the book, you're going to lose the vote pretty much every time. And so you've got to hash it out with them. And this is where the real role playing comes in, and this is actually where the fun of as the dungeon master can come in, because, you can, all these different leaders, you can, really, really kind of invest different personalities into them. I had a lot of fun here. And even looking back, I wish I had done a little bit more with these characters, but I really, really had fun with it. I had the leader of the Seekers, really trying to giving these massive ad hominem speeches, just trying to turn the people against the heroes, where the leader of the Believers, who is Alistan, who's actually a very, very important character in the book, he's much more of a reserved and humble type, but he's doing what he can to help. I had the plains people more worried about defense than anything, because they were the ones who could find food. They're not worried about, this is what they do. This is very much up their alley. So, they know that they'll be able to find food for themselves. It's just a question of, we don't want to get attacked by an army on the way. And so I really had them focused more on that. But there is a lot that you can do here. Now, this can get overwhelming. And so what really should happen here is that you argue for a basic plan of action and go with it. So I actually in that first meeting I put in there that the idea that, okay, this particular dungeon, which is Skullcap, that's going to be the place where we find how to get access to the Dwarven Nation. And so there's argument about that. There's argument about, okay, well, are y'all just going to leave us here alone? Or are you going to help us find safety in the meantime? Well, what direction are we kind of going? And why, are we seeking the help of the Hill Dwarves? And hash all of these things out kind of in one massive meeting, because they're, like I said, you can spend weeks here in game time. I think my party, even though they went they went exactly the right way. Like, I don't think they could have actually reached the safe area on the map quicker than they did. And I think it was around 5 days. And so to do one of these votes like every single night can get very tedious, especially if they're going in the wrong direction. And so there's a lot of opportunity here for the leaders to come to the party differently and tell, separately, and tell them, guys, hey, this is, you know, we lost several people in the night, and this is, you know, the food's running out. We need to find something like express their concern, the concern of the day to them in that manner, instead of like a big campfire scene every single time, because that could take, several sessions, to run through this. I would also really like try to strike a balance between the two versions. Third edition one, I actually went with that, and that turned out to be probably too easy. Like, of the 800 people, like 780 of them survived. And I think it was actually more than that. And you kind of want to feel it going through here, you know, as people are like just dropping off, and have your players start wondering, it's like, are we going to have anybody left? This is ridiculous. You know, you want that kind of feel to them. But the first edition version is harsh. And actually going into Skullcap, it's the same way. The first edition is probably too hard, and third edition is probably too easy. And so find a medium between them. But also, you've got to take a gauge of your players, you know? There can be a ton of role playing to do with the leaders of these factions, or there can be almost none, you know? And if your players are the type that just want to go in and fight some wolves, fight some owlbears, fight a giant or two, this is a good place to do it. And so, you know, you can kind of pull back on that particular aspect of the game. But if they really like the role playing aspect of it, and they're getting into the tensions in this region, because that, you know, this whole first section is in this region that has seen a lot of war and has become very segregated because of it. So there's a lot of tension there. And to throw everybody together in a very tense situation can be a lot of fun for the right party. And so you've kind of got to judge that. But that being said, the way all of these things kind of interact, you have the morale aspect of it that is really felt through the leaders of these groups, and the way they interact with the players. You have the danger aspects, and that has its own tables for resolving, you know, hunger. And, you know, are people going to survive the night? Simple decisions that you make, like, you know, your weight, you know, that dragon has been flying overhead, so no fires tonight. Well, this is a very cold place and there are wolves. And so if you sleep without fires, you risk losing more people, you know, to that. And so simple decisions like that, there are tables, to deal with those things. The hunger in particular, you know, you've got a thing charting out as you go of how much food do you have left? You know, are you finding food along the way? You know, how are you making this work? All of these things, you can basically take this section out and plop it into a world that you might be doing yourself. And, If you're not interested in like playing through the Dragonlance module, this is something that you can put into play in different circumstances. You know, like your party gets word of a dragon that's about to attack their town, and you get everybody out, but now you've got to make it to the next town, and you know, and these people are slowing you down and that sort of thing. Or they are captives of orcs or gnolls or whatever the case may be, and you've rescued them, but now you've got to get them somewhere. And it becomes kind of this unexpected chapter in your adventure, because normally when you save the people, the thing ends. Huzzah! We saved all the people. But what this game really tries to account for is, great, you did it. Well, now what do you do with them? Because there's 800 of them, and you pissed off a dragon on the way, you know? The last thing I really like about that is the combination of encounters, which are location specific, and the events, which are time specific. And again, you can transport this into any other game that you like. That if you dawdle too long, this thing's gonna happen. Yeah, you know, the dragon is going to find you no matter where you are by the fourth day, for example. It doesn't really matter where you are. It's going to take that dragon 4 days to track you. That sort of thing I find to be really, really cool. And so that is the first part of Dragons of Hope, which is the third module in the overall Dragonlance series. And I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing that section, and I thought there was so much good stuff there that can be transferred to other things. And so we really do appreciate you joining us today. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, please do join us on the Discord channel. We are in most of the places now, including YouTube. Especially if you like Dragonlance, you need to be subscribed to the Techno Funkboy channel on YouTube. But on the social media sites, we're going on Facebook and Twitter, and Parler and MeWe, and I think there's some others too. it's always fun trying to post the same, like a meme or something on five different places. But we're making it work because we're finding people kind of all over the place. And so we do want to make sure we can connect to you where you are. And so do appreciate you tuning in. We will be back next week. And until then, see you later.